And I noticed that you have 20 students, each of which has one question. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, very good. The path today, we expect to, let's see, I'm looking on my computer. It's about 9.5 minutes. And on previous contacts, been very good about getting all the students through. Students who are at the end line, I just want you to not be too disappointed if we don't get to your question. Pardon for events that may not always happen all the way. So hopefully you won't be too disappointed, but I'm pretty optimistic. I'm hoping that we will get to your question.
Okay.
Now, if near the end of the conference, we part, and at that point, Phil will come back and say that we're losing the contact. And that's the point where everybody in the room can say a big thank you, and Phil will try and transmit that up to the station. Phil has a much larger transmitter in his ground station than we have on board the space station sending down to the ground. So Charles on board the space station might be able to hear us even if we can't hear his signal because it's too weak. So the end is the point where we can all do a big thank you for him.
Of course, we haven't actually talked about that. We hear that at the end, we're all going to say thank you very loudly, right?
Exactly. Once,
we all can help, right?
Yep. Once Phil asks for that, that's the chance for everybody to be to thank you. But welcoming up to the contact and during the contact, everyone needs to be very, very quiet. No cheering, clapping until the very end of the contact. But there's going to be a lot of tension when Phil starts calling the space station for Charles. And at that point, once we establish contact, we need to work very hard to get all the students' questions asked and answered. And if there are any noises from the audience, things like cell phones and pagers, you should take a moment to switch those off or switch those to vibrate now so that there won't be any disturbances during 9 minutes when we're trying to get all 20 of these questions in. How's that sound?
That sounds fine. If they've been asked, I'll remind. Cell phones off. Everybody's cell phones off, right? They've been asked that before, too.
Okay, lovely. And I assume you have someone there taking digital photographs or whatever?
We have a number of people taking photographs. I don't know about digital photographs, have we? Okay, I'm hearing a yes behind me.
Okay, lovely. Well, Rick Lindquist, who is on the staff of the American Radio Relay League, puts out news releases about these contacts, and that's what helps us get support from all the different space agencies to use time on board the space station. So if you could, as soon as the contact's over, get a couple of nice photographs emailed, he would appreciate that very much.
Please do that.
Okay. Are you ready to copy that email address?
I am.
It's N, the number 1, R, so that's November 1, Romeo, Lima, @ ARRL, that's the American Radio Relay League, .org.
Right, that's November 1, Romeo, @ARRL.org. We will do that.
Okay, sounds lovely. And now, if we could get the first up to the microphone, please. If we could get Madison to ask that first question, we'll get Phil to listen to that to make sure that he can hear the student adequately.
Check the level.
Hi, this is
Steve,
and I'd like to know what significance does space exploration have for you?
And then over, right, Madison?
Oh, over.
Okay, no worries. That's good. We're doing the practice. That sounded good to me. Oh, is she loud enough for you?
A little bit more audio level, if it's possible.
Okay, very good. Paul, can Madison stand a little bit closer to the microphone, or would you like me to get the operator at Verizon to increase the audio level?
I think she's about as close as she can get.
Okay. Mary, could I get you to pump up the audio level coming from the school, please?
Yes. Do you want to try again?
Yeah, go ahead, Madison. Ask your question again, please.
All right. This is Madison. And I'd like to know what significance does space exploration have for you? Over.
Yes, it's a little bit.
Okay, would you like some more there, Phil, or are you going to be okay?
A little bit more again.
Mary, if we could try just a tiny bit more, please.
All right. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Madison.
This is Madison. What significance does space exploration have for you? Over.
That's good.
Okay, very good. Good job, Madison. And thanks, Mary, for making that adjustment.
Sure, thanks.
Okay, we're just about 11 and a half minutes out, be unpacked. Dieter, how are these audio levels for you? Are they okay? We're okay, very good. Thanks, sir. And is Wayne on yet?
Not as yet, no.
Okay, thanks, Mary. So we'll stick around. We'll wait until he gets on.
Apparently we were looking for Doug LeBlanc and for Wayne, but it's not there yet.
Oh, okay. I'll just break that down. Doug LeBlanc.
Right.
Good. Paul, did you have any additional questions about the contact today?
I don't think that I have any questions. Are there any questions here about how this works? Okay, we have a question from Jared back here in the corner on the list. Jared would like to know how many operators are involved right now.
Have Mary, who is our operator at Verizon Conferencing, gate their services, their teleconferencing services. And then we have Phil Van Hout. Phil, is it pronounced Van Hout?
What's your question again, please?
I was wondering if your last name was pronounced Van Hout.
Yes, that's Van Hout. It's okay.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And Phil Van Hout is an amateur radio operator in Belgium who volunteers his services. So he maintains a ground with radio equipment and antenna that we can use for these contacts. And then we have Gaston Bertels, who is European representative to ERIS. And Gaston oversees all of the amateur radio operations on the space station on the side of the Atlantic Ocean. And thanks for all your help, Gaston.
You're welcome.
And then Tim Bosma, who is muted right now, is the operations manager for ERIS. So he oversees the, we have 20 or 30 volunteers who work 10 to 20 hours a week each. And this is all volunteer stuff where they coordinate with the schools and make all of this stuff happen just as a hobby. We have 8 volunteer ground stations around the world that enable us to do these contacts when the school isn't able to use their own ground station. And then there's the moderator here. So we just have about 4 or 5 of the ERIS team involved today.
Yes, I was just going to ask, it might be useful to explain what ERIS is. I put it in the notes I sent to the faculty, but we've not talked about it with the students.
Okay. Well, there's a little, in about 2 minutes, I'll start reading the introduction for the program. But basically, it is amateur radio on the International Space Station. And amateur radio has flown on about 20 space shuttle missions. It had a presence on the Russian Mir space station for most of its life. And this was so popular that and such a worthwhile effort that the international partners that run the International Space Station decided that they wanted permanent amateur radio stations on board the ISS. So we currently have 2 stations operational on board the ISS, and there will be some more equipment going up with different capabilities. So basically, it's a volunteer organization, but it's supported by all, and there are about 9 nations involved in ERIS, but they're supported by all of the space programs from all of the international partners that run the International Space Station. So it's a big international effort, works pretty well. Any other questions, Paul? We're coming up 1 minute until I'll start reading the script.
We do have someone here who is an amateur radio operator, and he is able to tell us about ERIS. He brought some props you were looking at. Some people asked a question earlier, which was, how can the time be delayed? It was delayed 7 minutes from our original schedule. Because isn't the space station in orbit, how can it slow down?
The space station does slow down because there is air drag up there, and so it's constantly dropping in orbit. and then there are propulsion motors on board various components on the space station that have to be run to move the space station up higher. And so space weather is just like the weather on Earth. We can predict, but we aren't always exactly right. And so that's why the times of the passes actually change occasionally. 6 minutes out from the contact, and so if everyone's ready, I'll go ahead and start with the script. Okay. Hello. This is Will Marchant, KC6ROL, from the Space Sciences Laboratory at the University of California, Berkeley. And through the help of amateur radio volunteers, the crew on the ISS, and Verizon Conferencing, we hope to soon establish radio contact with the International Space Station that flies more than 200 miles above the Earth over Belgium. And this is all accomplished with ARIS, and that's the Amateur Radio on the International Space Station program. And the ISS currently is flying over the Atlantic Ocean, and it's whizzing along at around 17,500 miles an hour. Now, this contact will be performed using the Telebridge Network, and that's a worldwide network of amateur radio ground stations that enable students to contact us. Now, ARIS is a consortium of volunteers from 9 nations that develop and operate the amateur radio station on board the International Station. And some members of ARIS are the American Radio Relay League, the Worldwide AMSAT, Radio Amateur Satellite Corporations, and NASA. And the amateur radio ground station that will establish contact today with the ISS is ORISS, and that's in Belgium, and it's operated by Phil Van Hout by TV. And I'd like to thank you for helping us out today, Phil.
Welcome.
And the contact today is possible because of a worldwide communications network provided courtesy of Verizon Conferencing. And I'd like to thank our operator, Mary, for helping us out today.
Thank you.
And we're just about 4 minutes until the contact time. Now, our school for today is the Redmond High School in Redmond, Washington. And now we're going to check in with the students. And I've asked teacher Paul Osborne to please briefly tell us about the students that are taking part today.
Thank you very much. This is Paul Osborne, and welcome to Redmond High School. We have students here both from our high school and also from Redmond Junior High School down the hill. We're pleased and honored to have the chance to talk with you today. Now, all of the students that are here have an interest in space, and in front of them right now, they're looking at a map of the world, and on the map in them is Plata Station. When we first came in, it was over, it was just outside of Australia, and there was some concern that it was going to make it to Belgium in time. We've also been exploring and enjoying Mr. Simone's website, Charles in Space. Some of the videos are fantastic. And we are now aware, and this is new for us, of the relationship or partnership of the International Space Station and Amateur Radio. And I'd like to thank John Allen, KD7SEE, who's a volunteer, who's here today to help us with technical issues, and he's brought a number of props. So we're excited, ready to go, all shoot, have our cards, and we're looking forward to our conversation.
Excellent, Paul. Well, sounds good, and thanks, John, for helping out there on site. Now we'll go to Phil for a moment, our ground station in Belgium. And before the contact begins, could you just briefly tell us about your station, where you are, and how you'll handle the conversation, please?
Okay, thanks, Will. ON4ISS, the AMSAT Belgium Club Station, is located at Sipley. Sipley is a very little village 50 kilometers east of Brussels, the capital city of Belgium. And now a short description of the equipment here in my house. The transceiver is the Yaesu Foxtango 726 Romeo with 10 watt output, followed by an amplifier of 70 watt out, then a bandpass filter to avoid TDI. The antenna is 3 meters above the ground in the middle of the garden. It's a MASCO antenna, 2 times 12 elements cross KG, giving 10 dB of gain. I can switch to left or right hand circular polarization. The tracking goes via a homemade track box. Flip mode is enabled and will be useful for this path. A few seconds before AOS, I will begin the call. NA1SS, NA1SS, this is ON4ISS, ON4ISS, operated by ON5TV, over. This, of course, several times. As soon as the contact is established, give the mic to the school for the first question. Don't forget to say over, so I know when I have to switch the transceiver. That's all for now, and please cross your fingers.
Very good, Phil. Well, thank you very much. It sounds like you have an excellent station there. I'm very confident that we'll have a good... What we're doing on board the ISS is an experiment, so we can never tell the results, positive or negative, until the experiment is over. And students, I want you to remember to say the word at the end of your questions. That will help Phil when he's adjusting his transmitter from transmit to receive. So we're just about 40 seconds before the station should be coming over Belgium. So Phil, I'll hand the contact over to you, and I wish everyone the best of luck.
I have 1 minute now before AOS. I will still wait a few seconds before my first call.
Okay, very good, Phil. Thanks, Phil.
Okay, let's go now. NA1SS, this is ON4ISS, ON4ISS, operated by ON5TV, over. Okay, NA1SS, I heard you, but the level is very low for the moment, but it will be better in a few seconds. Anyway, back to the school for the first question. Go ahead. Go ahead for the first question, please.
This is Madison, and I'd like to know what significance does space exploration have for you? Over.
Second question, please.
This is Katie.
The second question, please.
What was your biggest fear about space travel and living before you left? Over.
You know, and I'm overcoming them, and I'm really happy to talk to you guys.
Again, go ahead.
This is Catherine. What was takeoff like? Did you feel a lot of pressure? Did it feel fast? Over.
You know, Catherine, that was really a big surprise. It was more like a helicopter, which shakes quite a bit, like a fast elevator. And that's not true for all rockets, but just for the Soyuz. But it was very mild.
This is Chris. What did you do during the 2 days it took to get to the space station? Over.
I thought that we would have a lot of time, but it turns out that we need to do a lot of housekeeping instead. We had to dry the spacesuits, and we had to do 6 course corrections, so the time went really fast.
Michael, go.
This is Michael. What was the first thing you did when you reached gravity? Over.
The first thing I did was to do nothing. It's very easy to get sick in zero G, so we were cautioned to be very still and look at one place. I did let go of my checklist and see it float, but now I can do flips, and I feel really home in weightlessness.
Sandra, go.
This is Sandra. Can you see the Great Wall of China from space with your eyes? Over.
Sandra, there is a great article in Wikipedia.org on the subject, and I have not seen it, and I don't think that you would see it because it's a very thin structure. It's very big, of course, but it's very thin, and the color is the same as the surrounding. I don't think you can see it.
Can see you.
Hi, this is Christina for Chelsea. What changes did you notice in the shape or functioning of your body? Over.
Oh, well, My head got bloated and my legs got thinner and kind of spidery, and we lost a lot of fluids, water, the first few days, and we have to replace it.
Yes, this is Gerard. And what do you think when you look out the window and see the Earth from space? Over.
Gerard, I say, what a beautiful place. It's majestic, it's calm, and it really fills me with optimism.
Kevin?
This is Kevin. When you look down on the Earth, can you see the impact of humans, especially on the environment? Over.
You actually have to look pretty hard, but of course you can see the fields, the cultivated fields. You can see settlements, towns, especially at night. And you can see some big fires that are the smoke from fires that were set by humans, obviously, especially in Africa.
Africa?
This is Ashika. What is your sleep pattern aboard the ISS? Do you sleep 8 hours straight? Over.
Yes, I do. I just woke up from a very nice 8 hours of sleep. The first few nights were a little bit shorter. In effect, we were jet-lagged because we got into a different time zone.
Thomas?
This is Thomas. What personal items did you bring with you and why? Over.
I brought my passport with me to be like to be stamped like a tourist, and I also took a computer tape from the 1960s with about a kilobyte of data to remind me of where this all came from.
Samuel?
This is Samuel. Did you wish to be a space traveler when you were still a kid? Over.
Yes, I was, but not very seriously. I was very interested in rockets and space, but I didn't think I was cut out to be an astronaut.
Anna.
Hi, this is Anna. When you were in training, was there a computer game or program given to you that helped you prepare? Over.
Anna, there's a big simulator that runs on three PCs side by side on three screens and simulates the manual docking and the re-entry, and that's very, very cool.
No.
This is Connor. What do you expect coming back from space to be after a week or two? Will it be hard to move? Over.
Yes, it will be. There is a couple of days of rehab scheduled at Star City when I return. There will be a lot of time spent in the pool.
This is Eric. Since there is no up and down in space, do you still get dizzy if you spin yourself around? Over.
That's a great question, but yes, you can ask Neil Armstrong, who had to wrestle his out-of-control Gemini spacecraft in 1966. Technically speaking, when you spin yourself, the direction of the spin axis declines and up and down.
Eric?
Hi, this is Ryan. Why do you think it is important for people to travel in space? Over.
I think it is written in our DNA to explore. I don't think we need to justify it with specifics. We can do it just on faith and hope.
So?
Hi, this is Saul. What does an astronaut or a cosmonaut do for fun in space?
Over.
Sorry.
This is three times easier than I thought, but with regular exercise, it lasts a long time. They watch DVDs on the laptop.
Jason?
This is Josh, and this is Jason's question. With which Earth time zone is the ISS synchronized, and why that particular one? Over.
Greenwich time, just like the astronomy and science and aviation. But here it gets a little bit screwy because we are working, we are starting our working day at 100 and go to bed at 10 o'clock the next day, and I think that's very confusing. It would be better to have a local time that admits that.
Eamon?
This is Iman. How much math is involved in becoming an astronaut? Over.
I think it's about as much as for the pilot, but hope you are not afraid of math. Very little you can do in today's world without math. The best inventors, the businessmen, the best poker players, they all know a lot of math, even if they do not admit it.
And Anthony.
This is Anthony. Why was your transportation to the space station of the Russian space program instead of NASA? Over.
You know, NASA to be the communication facilities on a separate contract, but I think it's appropriate for NASA to stay out from commercial because there are so many startups, even in Seattle, Blue Horizons, run by Jeff Mason. At the same time, the Russian space agency that is much useful source of income them, and by supporting them, we support the whole program. For example, our American astronauts are relying on the Soyuz black holes.
You lost the signal. Go ahead, Paul.
That's all of our questions here. Thank you very much.
Well, excellent job, Phil. Is Charles still there? Did he hear the thank you? I guess not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've shared a moment of history. Amateur radio station ON4IFS in Belgium, operated by Phil Van Hout, ON5TV. Contacted Dr. Charles Simonier, KE7KDP/AK5SIK, aboard the International Space Station, talking with students at the Redmond High School in Redmond, Washington.